Hey everyone, Matthew Cook, founder and CEO of GTC Golf Academy and host of the Lower Golf Scores podcast. I am a PGA teaching professional, I'm a published author and speaker, and I'm also a member of the Professional Golfers Association of Great Britain. This podcast has one very clear and simple goal, and that is to help you lower your golf scores. Let's get into it. Hey everybody, Matthew Cook here, founder and CEO of GTC Golf Academy and host of the Lower Golf Scores podcast. In today's episode, I'm going to talk to you about something I've been doing mostly all this week. I've been teaching everybody from beginner kids at 5 years old to college players that have ambitions to play on the PGA Tour and who are actually on track to do so. So I've worked with the whole range of players this week from literally 7 a.m. till 7:30 p.m. every day, which is why I've not got many podcasts out there this past week or much more videos or anything, because I've been so busy coaching. And it's interesting what I've been doing all week, and what I wanted to talk to you about today is making changes to improve form and technique, making a change to something in your swing, something in your technique related to movement with your body, and simply because I think it's misunderstood, and I also think that people just don't know how to do it properly, as well as misunderstand it. And this week I've done a lot of changing things in golf swings from small to big, knowing that golfers have got 6 to 8 weeks before the next event, or small things because golfers have, you know, 3 to 4 days before the next event. And so making a change is necessary most of the time at a beginner and sort of an intermediate level. I know that's very broad, but you know, there's not many changes PGA Tour players need to make. It's more about, or elite golfers, it's more about making sure that we don't get injured, making sure that our skill set keeps getting more and more refined by good practice habits and good practice, utilizing good practice principles. It's the swing, the direction of the swing, the plane of the swing, the different positions, that for the most part is well and truly gone. I also believe, just personally, that if you're working with a student and they are young, like 6, 7, 8, by the time, and they're still in the sport, by the time they get to 12 or 13 or 14, by that time their swing should pretty much almost be like, that's what it's kind of going to look like for the rest of their life. So you got to get it right during that time. And then from there, you just help them refine their skills, get better at distance control, get better at contact, get more aware of how to adapt to different situations and play different shots. So there's not much changing in technique. But this week, obviously, I've been working with a lot of golfers and a lot of beginners and intermediate golfers. So we've done a lot of changes. And what I have found myself saying the most this week is when we're trying to make a change, rather than thinking internally about our left arm doing this, our left hand or wrist doing this, our right arm doing this, our hips doing XYZ, rather than thinking internally about that movement, which is not a bad thing, but to progress further and to make a change that is going to last, we have to find something that is external that will help us, because the change will happen quicker, we'll feel different things, we will get a different result. And although it might look ugly, as one of my friends, Trev Reagan from Train Ugly, would say, it might look ugly, might look a little messy, but that's where real, true learning is happening, and that's where change is really happening. So find something external, and I use alignment sticks quite often. I use swim noodles on alignment sticks. I use a few gadgets, not much to be honest. I'm not a big fan of them, But when it comes to making changes quickly, I am a big fan. And I just like to work away from them as soon as possible. Once a player has a feeling and sees something and then is able to quickly get this sort of mental representation of that without the training wheels on, then that's what I prefer. Too many golf coaches, in my opinion, keep players in crutches for too long. So I'm always trying to push my golfers out of that and away from that as soon as possible, so they can more quickly rely on their own abilities rather than something external helping them get to a movement that's perfect. But to start with, using something external helps. So I would encourage you to do so with alignment sticks, or you can look at my YouTube channel, or just scroll through the Facebook page and you'll find me doing exercise and drills, and you'll see for the most part I only use alignment sticks or golf balls or cones. I don't use a whole lot of fancy stuff because I don't think you need it. And so start there, find something external to start with, and then bring that internally. But you need a coach, or you need to video yourself doing it, so that what you see in your mind's eye, the mental representation, that mental image of what you're doing in your mind, is actually what you see on the video. Because quite often some golfers think that they're doing something, but then when they see it on video, they're nowhere near it. So you have to keep working back and forth with that to make sure that what you're feeling and what you're seeing in your mind is actually the reality. And you know, just use your iPhone. Everyone's got an iPhone or an Android. Just use your phone. That's as good as it needs to be to make sure that those things are in line and are sort of on par with each other. And then the next thing is how you train it so it sticks and lasts long term. The last thing I want you to do is get into a groove on the range doing a drill, hitting 50 of them in a row. What I like to do, and this is heavily backed by science, evidence and research, and I've been in this for the last 12 years deeply, working with some of the best professors, most renowned professors in the world. So I know this, what I'm doing is very much the right thing. And that's breaking up the practice in a way that has some challenge, some difficulty, some space between things and shots, and some sort of interleaving, randomized practice, so we have variability. So I tend to find usually two, but typically 3 to 4 exercises or drills that are related to what the player needs to work on. And then depending on the level of skill, how many golf shots or how many swings or repetitions of those exercises or drills they do is dependent on that. How many, for example, in doing X drill, depending on their skill level, I will make the call as to how many balls they hit doing that drill. Because you don't want, as soon as you start to feel like you're getting in a groove, that's the point where you've gone too far. You want to not get to that point. It wants to still feel challenging and messy and ugly before you get to the next one, and then you keep doing it. And after you do these different exercises, like I said, at least 2, but I do 3 to 4, then hit a normal shot, trying to feel this. Also, I would video this one shot, really over-exaggerating the feel of what these drills and exercises you've just been doing. And then you can use the video to see if what you did was close to the actual image you have in your mind. And so that right there is not only a good coaching lesson, not a good lesson to give, it's structured in a way that has what the golfer wants and needs, because sometimes those are out of line. The golfer wants to hit the ball better, wants to get the club to shallow out or get steeper or whatever. So you build training tasks and drills and exercises around the things they need to achieve in order to get that outcome. And then you have the player work through those drills in a way that is backed by science and evidence and research. And then you put together, all of a sudden, you put together a great practice stroke coaching session for the golfer. They genuinely feel like they're engaged, but also you as a coach, if you're listening as a coach or if you're listening as a golfer, you as a person know that from a coach, you have given a great lesson that is very much beneficial to the golfer. And if you're a golfer listening to this, then you know that you have put together a very good practice session, which is ultimately going to help you achieve the goals and dreams that you have in golf. So swing changes related to movement, whether small or big, should follow that framework. That's all from me today. I'll be back tomorrow with some more helpful tips and advice. I will speak to you then. Bye. Hey folks, are you lost with your game? Do you not quite know where to start, what to do, or how to even navigate all of the information that's out there in the world? I wouldn't be surprised if you're just fed up and sick to death of scrolling through YouTube looking for tips and tricks that ultimately never work for the long term. Or whether you're just scrolling the internet, scrolling Facebook or social media, just hoping to find something that's going to give you clarity and transparency on what you need to do right now to take your game to the next level, whether that's to hole more putts, whether that's to chip better, pitch better, whether that's to hit the ball further off the tee, or whether that's to break 90 or 100 or 80 or even 70, whatever your goals are, I can help you. Now, you can hop over to gtcgolfacademy.com. You can book a free power call. I'll help give you clarity, transparency, point you in the right direction for completely free. Or we could maybe even start to work together one-on-one, personally, remotely, or if you even live locally. I'm here in Acworth, Georgia. If you live locally, we could work one-on-one with each other, or we can work remotely, your choice. Either way, let me help you get clarity and figure out the direction you need to go with your game. Head over to gtcgolfacademy.com, book yourself a free power call, and I will look forward to speaking to you soon.